Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Text me to interact with the program. Still to come in about a half hour, April Murray Fogle will join us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, to the top of the hour, Travis Johnson will be with us. So stick around for that. Back to this, and I'm going to read the question here from Ultra Runner. The word on the street is that there were audible groans at the back of the room at the our Chamber of Commerce breakfast when Barry Moore said he wanted to name the new bridge after Trump. How conservative is our chamber? We fight DEI in our education system. We fight for race-blind maps. Yet when it comes to commerce, our state still gives even mandates preferential treatment for minority-owned businesses. Why is commerce the last vestige of race-based quota policy? Aren't our anti-woke efforts incoherent? I think it's some of the bid obligations. You have to make room for minority based contractors. It's been a long time since I've been in the construction sector. Once upon a time, I was an estimator for a masonry contractor up in Birmingham. And you'd get the, request for proposals and the bid proposal and all of the bid requirements. And buried down in there, but very, very important, were these requirements to have some kind of minority-based subcontractor, some kind of minority-based company involved in the construction of the project, if it was government work particularly. And there are all kinds of workarounds. Like these contractors, the Brassfield, Agori, Harbor, the big boys, Robbins and Morton, all of those like big names, which have become here in recent years like kind of big mules. They knew how to. They had their own little, I guess, subsidiary, minority owned or in part minority owned, and they checked all the boxes. That they have, all of this sort of social engineering that's buried down deep in, the bureaucracy and layers of government. There are people who are profiting off of it. That Ultra Runner, they actually like. There's a system that, maybe at one time it had the best of intentions with, these diversity aspects, affirmative action. Now, we've since, as a society, have rejected it, but it takes a while to kind of root a lot of that out. And I think that you have your Chamber of Commerce crowds around the state, they have, perfected the art of maneuvering those requirements, and it's become very profitable for them. So there's something to that. I just think corporations, they're not particularly ideological. They know that such a gesture from Barry Moore is going to upset a lot of people, cause a lot of problems, and all they want to do is keep the peace. As long as there's like a stasis in our politics, no upheaval, things go as planned, their business models are able to function, their projections are able to be met or exceeded, and there's no rancor or turmoil in the politics, and that's what they're for. Yeah, it may be better for the country, and I'm not saying that naming the bridge after Donald Trump is better for the country at all. But it may be better for the country to embrace conservatism. I do believe that. To embrace the free market. To give the taxpayers the best return on their dollar. to eliminate as many impediments, including race-based quotas and requirements. So that, you know, the big business in this state, they don't, like I said, they're not necessarily like driven by these policies. Maybe some are in some corporate boardrooms. They look at their lives. They look at their jobs as just shilling for a shareholder or stock price or whatever. However, and they try to like, I don't know. You see this, especially in high finance and, you know, the, we talk about our elite institutions, the Madison Avenue marketing firms and Hollywood, professional sports, the tech sector. They want to do something to fulfill like social, societal goods, make people feel better. So anyway, there's a lot of that in big business, in the Chamber of Commerce crowd, I believe, that this is not something they're either for or against. It's just another hurdle to navigate. After they figured this out, after they have figured out how to navigate the affirmative action requirements of government, somebody's trying to change them, and all that works for naught, and it's just another headache. Let's continue on here. Moz, I fear you are correct on the midterms. The only saving grace for is redistricting, and they hope that the American electorate will dismiss DSA. These will only lessen the bloodletting in the House. I believe the Senate will remain in Republican hands. I feel better about the Senate than the House. The House could be a lot worse. If Republicans hadn't had these redistricting victories, then it would be. Picking up these handful of seats matters. We're just not going to have big wave elections anymore. Everything is so divided. Named Texter, good morning, Jeff. How much of a difference is there, in your opinion, between being tracked by your phone or by flock cameras? I personally think there isn't much of a difference. Thanks, U-Haul man. Well, the difference is one is being funded at the expense of the taxpayer. The other is a personal choice. The other is a decision you make to carry your cell phone around. And in theory, probably not everybody realizes this, but you're supposed to know that this is how, you know, that you got that cell phone in your pocket and it's tracking your location, it's geotagging everything you do. That's, you cede that expectation of privacy, but you're doing it voluntarily. Whereas the flock cameras, the government just decided one day, hey, we're going to use this technology and we're going to track license plates. Did we talk about it? I don't recall much discussion about it. Some of this is discretionary by law enforcement. They are able to kind of spend and use their resources as they see fit. But this is such an intrusion in the eyes of a lot of people that's why this has become an issue, and that's what the difference is. Tim, when they give Karen something to talk about, if the power company would start putting flock cameras on their poles and start spying on everyone, that would kill two birds with one stone. How many people are for this? Anybody out there kind of pro flock camera? Because you're like, yay, big government Orwellian system, but that you really do think it is a public safety enhancement. Pat writes, I got noise in my ear too. That's why I can only listen to headphones in my right ear. Well, we do thank you for listening, Pat. Now, sometimes there's stuff that goes on down the line down at the station, and it shows up in my headphones. I don't know if it goes out over the air, but I do hear it. DEI texture, it's amusing to hear Republicans need to be even more extreme to energize voters, yet the same isn't true for Democrats. I don't know about, you know, you do this all the time, DEI texture. Your idea of extreme, it's in the eyes of the beholder. Maybe that's true about Democrats. But socialism, at least in theory, is something that is far out of the mainstream in America. That's maybe it's amusing to you, but you look at the world differently. I give you the same talk I gave to Leo. Take your left-wing tendencies out of it and just evaluate the people around you. And you may not think highly of them. You may be like mommy issues and think they're dumb and uneducated. But guess what? Their vote counts just as much as yours, and that's what matters. Jason writes, good morning, Jeff. Are any of these polls reliable, and is there anyone you trust? Not really. I mean, I am highly skeptical of, like, these polling averages, including the Real Clear Politics polling average, where you take a bunch of polls and you create an average out of them, and that gives you sort of a baseline. Because I think some of these polls, you take a bunch, it's like making a stew, and you're just taking a bunch of things and you're just putting it in a pot and mixing it up, because all these polls, they weigh things differently. They sample different geographic areas, different zip codes, and they give weight to certain responses. Oh, we have a female African-American voter here responding. Well, we don't get many of those, so we're going to make this like times two or five or whatever. It's all a science, and it's their best guess. But they get a response from a demographic, and then they kind of lay out what they think the demographic is, and then they base their poll off of that. And as you might imagine, at some point, somebody says, well, you know, we were for this guy. Why don't we just weight this more than this? And they'll give us better numbers. And we can take that to our donors. And we can say, hey, we're actually up 7 points. We're up by double digits. That they could do things like that and still meet the standard of quote unquote science, because it's their best guess, their best educated guess, their hypothesis. And they put it out publicly and people take it kind of like, now I know a lot of you are like, I don't trust the polls, but some people do. Scrollverine. It's weird how that Mike guy refers to boomers as a pejorative for conservatives. He characterizes ignorant Fox News sheep when liberal boomers, quote unquote, have been prominently out and loud and stupid sheep. There's a grain of truth to Michael's remarks. There is a lot of loyalty, fidelity to Fox News, Fox News Channel. And they do set the tempo. And I don't think it's necessarily a lot of what you see on Fox News is necessarily relevant to what we do in this state. But it's sort of the guiding light. The problem is, here's what's you know, all these issues like transgender females and girls sports or whatever, yes, that stuff is dictated largely by the Fox News crowd. But it's also taking the emphasis off of your local politics and makes it seem like the national politics is far more important than this stuff that goes on at the Montgomery or your city level. And I don't think that's a positive thing. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that he asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit. Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Said some things just glitter and shine. Taught us that love.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Butter Knife writes, with Trump promoting the leadership of North Korea and bashing South Korea yesterday, the fill-in for Sean's show in North Korea is supplying drone technology to Iran. So our president is promoting a country that is actively going to kill American soldiers should the Republicans lose. I think maybe there's more of a hopefulness there than he is than with North Korea than say Iran or Russia or China. Maybe like, and I think this is the untold story or undertold story about the Trump administration. A lot of the foreign policy is really to go up against the communist Chinese to better position the country against the emergence of the communist Chinese. And North Korea for decades was kind of a vassal state of the communist Chinese government, but that's becoming less and less of a thing. And at times it can be adversarial. So that I suspect with Trump and North Korea, even though I don't think that North Korea is a very honorable actor in the global community, that he looks, I mean, so none of these ends justify the means things, but he looks at North Korea and at least winning them over, winning their leadership over, as another tool against China. Now, I'm not saying that's the right policy or the wrong policy, but that's my theory, butter knife on that. Like, why this focus on North Korea all of a sudden? Mega Bridge, mail, make I-10 great again. That from Nick. Tim, if you're looking for funding and you don't want tolls, you better name it after Trump. That's what I think is going on here. I really do believe that. I don't know if it's going to work. I give it a low percentage, but I think it's worth a shot. It's just playing to Trump's ego. Do you care? If he do get a lower toll or a more affordable bridge because more federal government is into it, do you care? The state doesn't care. The rest of the state north of Escambia County looks at that bridge as for you guys who want to go to the beach, or that's a you problem, not an us problem. And that's the way our policymakers in Montgomery have approached it. That's a those guys problem. We're more focused on Birmingham and Huntsville. Pat, I'm with the EIA texter on this one. The Republicans will quit telling women they can't have abortions and left every other talking point alone, they would gain hundreds of thousands of more voters. Most women think it's their right to abort or not. Nothing anyone tells them changes their mind. Well, we kind of got to just say so what. It's a question of morality. Do you believe the whatever you want to call it, this is the left to call it a clump of cells inside a womb, is a human being? Whatever you believe, whatever you think that issue is, how prominent it is, or whatever the value you put with it, Pat, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people, particularly in this state, are going to just disagree that it's not really your choice. It's a hard thing to say, but it's not a choice issue. It's a life issue. And we have to decide one way or another. Now, the Supreme Court sort of punted on it and said we're going to leave that up to the states. But for society to kind of move on from this, we got to have like a definitive explanation from our elite institutions as to whether the being in the womb is a life or it's not. And then everything will answer itself from there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door?
From Carolina.
to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line and get in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Travis Johnson coming up in about 30 minutes, so stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Thursday. We didn't get it last Thursday, but we do this Thursday because you never can have enough April Murray Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. But April Murray Fogle joins us now. April Murray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Getting ready for the new school year to start.
Well, it's already kicked off here. The perils of the car line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not as efficient at my five-year-old's new school as it once was at his preschool. So that's just knowing that I'm going to be dealing with that for the next 18 years is sort of mind-numbing.
My trick to that is to go early. Like, I'd rather be the first one there and be able to, you know, make calls, look at my phone, do whatever it is I need to do rather than wait in the line where you're actually, like, inching up car after car. So go early. That's my advice.
Well, they do is, though, there's such a narrow, and I guess this is what you do. You just get there in front of the line first, but they such a narrow window. And plus, yeah. I'm making two stops at the school and then the daycare with the other two. It just has to be a certain time. And the car line is inevitable. I don't see how they get away with it. It backs up on Highway 98, but it is, they somehow do. But anyway, enough of that. Hey, you're a connoisseur of Florida politics, and I don't know if a whole lot's being made out of this. Some are, but, you know, the results are mixed for Democrats. But the thing that sticks out in my mind, how there were 500,000 more voters in the Republican primary for governor than in the Democratic primary. And I don't know what the norm is. I guess I could look into it for Florida. But that seems like a hopeful sign in what's supposed to be a Democrat year. Now, Florida's not what it used to be. It's not a swing state anymore.
They also have closed primaries. So there's the independents in NPA. Those are going to come out. And do they come out for Byron or do they come out for Jolly?
I didn't even consider that, the closed primary discussion. But the contrast is clear here. Like, abysmal turnout in the Republican primary, in both primaries on the 19th, but Democrats way more energized and engaged than Republicans. And it's just kind of a startling contrast of the two states. Because you would think, just stereotypically, your view of Alabama versus Florida, that proportion would be the other way around, but it's not at all.
I know. I know that we're not supposed to worry about Alabama Democrats getting it together. The party itself is still a hot mess, but they did have some, and we reported on it over at 1819 News, they did have some areas that they had really good turnout. And so I think it gives, should give the party, you know, the party of Alabama, it should give them reason to pause and say, we got to do everything we can here to make sure there's no gaps, that we got to close all those.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the guest in the last hour, Bradley Jay, my colleague at Breitbart, who said something I think there's absolutely something to this. I've never really kind of given it a whole lot of thought. In Florida, the state government there, the legislature, now they have some ugly, nasty fights in Tallahassee. However, they're passing conservative things. They're doing a lot of conservative things that they're not doing in Alabama. That is, Alan Mendenhall and I were talking about yesterday, that the state government in Alabama is sort of a purple state, moderate, cronyism. Florida's, like, especially throughout the COVID experience, really went, you know, they went sort of in a rightward direction from there. And that is what Bradley thinks has, like, really inspired way more Republican enthusiasm and turnout than, say, in Alabama.
Well, in their primaries, you know, again, it goes back to that. They have closed primaries, and they really go for the person who's the furthest right. We here have a lot of establishment. They have term limits, which really changes things in Florida. We don't have that, so you've got people here who've served longer than you and I have been alive. There's a lot of differences. I'm hoping that Tuberville gets in there, pushes our legislature further to the right, and then we end up with more incentive to get, you know, more conservative people elected in the future. Tuberville is going to be a tipping point.
Well, and there's a lot to that, though. I mean, there's a lot of expectations for Tommy Tuberville, and he's going to be an improvement from the status quo, but something just tells me, don't get your hopes up too much. That we put a lot of stock in someone coming in and saving the day, and he's going to do a lot of things better, and it's going to be like, well, that was sort of a mild letdown along the way. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
Well, I think it'll go twofold. I think that he's going to, there's some things, we know gambling is one of them, right? There's some things where you go, okay, he's just going to get this off the plate. It's been sitting there forever, tired of talking about it, let the people vote, and we know which way that's going to go, and that'll be that. But I think in terms of the small everyday issues, the things you go, okay, why can't we ban pride flags from classrooms? Why can't we, you know, do certain, like, ultra-conservative things that there makes no sense to? Why can't we hold these colleges out? You know, accountable for still having divisive concept stuff or craziness in their colleges. Like, I think those things are where we're going to be successful. And if you look at Florida in their legislature, they have fights, but generally it's over how far a bill is going to go. They're still fighting, you know, on the spectrum of, okay, are we going to give a little bit more? Their Republicans are true Republicans. Our Republicans tend to be blue dog Democrats. They're Kay Ivey style.
Well, yeah, and there's sort of like, and maybe it's just kind of the culture, and, you know, like Todd Stacey always kind of brags about this, that, like, well, we're much more civilized. We're much more civil in Montgomery than Washington, D.C. We don't have these shutdowns or these ugly fights. That there's a politeness in state politics. And I think that sort of gravitation toward not doing things that seem impolitic or are going to upset somebody or upset the wrong person, it really kind of hamstrings any kind of, like, conservative ideas. I mean, you have a few guys. Ernie Arbro comes to mind. He was on the show this week, but he's an outlier. You don't have enough outliers to really move the needle in that direction. And the pendulum is kind of stuck somewhere in a very narrow window between kind of center left and center right.
Well, and that's a good observation. We don't have a lot of the, you know, and the ultra conservative, but is moving the needle. You don't have a lot of the Ernies. You don't have a lot of the Mac Butlers. You don't have a lot of the, you can name them. When you can sit there and name them on your fingers, we have a problem with our legislature, but that's a voter problem. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, I came from Florida, but I'm not for term limits. I'm for more voter participation. If we wanted better, we'd vote better in. Our results on the Republican side are still abysmal compared to what they should be. And so, you know, if we want Tuberville Trump-like people, then we have to vote for that. And we had that opportunity. You look at Kay Ivey and in the passes she got, and you say, okay, this is on us.
Yeah, and so that's just another thing. It's just why I just reject this, that we're not as conservative as Florida, at least Republicans. Alabama Republicans and Florida Republicans, they're conservative, and maybe it's more of a social conservatism than the fiscal or the free market sort of ideology in the Republican Party of Florida. But it seems like there's just this expectation of very little. I mean, even, like, you could say the state of Florida is very different from Alabama, obviously, from Key West to Pensacola, yes. But even the Florida panhandle outperforms Alabama. And then I think that's, you know, culturally closer to Alabama than the rest of the state. But the voter turnout is higher there. There's more participation. There's more of a right-wing pedigree than the entirety of the state. And there's some kind of disconnect here. And it's kind of a fascinating phenomenon.
Well, you wonder. So when I moved to this state, which was 13, almost 14 years ago, when, you know, BCA and their money ran the state. Before that, you know, AEA, which, by the way, they still have an outsized role. But you look at who's financing campaigns. And even this last cycle, there were a couple of upsets. You know, John Wall was somewhat of an upset. You know, there were upsets where we had the more conservative person win. And I feel like a big part of it is there's voter apathy. There's always the, you know, I don't like incumbents except I like mine. And you wonder, you know, how do some of these incumbents get elected time and time again? And they just, people are just used to them. They know them. One is the voter turnout. And I feel like there's just an apathy there that how do you fix that? You know, you see it with our presidential primaries, your Ted Cruz, your Donald Trump, your whatever, people get excited. But then when's the last time? I mean, Tuberville's got excitement behind him right now. And I think you're right that some people are going to be disappointed. But when's the last time there was a candidate that people got really excited about on a statewide ballot in Alabama?
I think Tommy Tuberville, when he ran for Senate, and Jeff Sessions had his moments, but these were federal candidates. It's never a state. A state constitutional office, and there's not that many opportunities. And look, we sort of got a battered Alabama voter syndrome here after Bentley and Siegelman, and you know, Guy Hunt. You get the idea there. But there was sort of this desire to return to normalcy. And look, the state hasn't been all Republican. It wasn't all Republican until 2010, right? So, yeah. You know, we don't really have a good representation of kind of what our expectations are supposed to be and how they are fulfilled. Maybe we'll get there. Tommy Tuberville is kind of the start of that. But Kay Ivey, 10 years of Kay Ivey has just been an abject disappointment.
That has, I think, sucked all the air out of the room. You get the majority, and then you watch these guys, Bentley, but you watch these guys kind of mess it up. And then in the legislature, they come in with such gusto. I did that whole, you know, AEA looking back. We get control. We say we're going to cut off this organization. We're going to then become the kind of the BCA is going to become the power, which we see that way that worked out for us. But you say, okay, we're going to have all this momentum. And it doesn't really materialize. And then part of that is you get these governors. You know, there was excitement around Bentley, but we see the way that ended up. And then Ivy was just Ivy.
It's funny you mentioned BCA because it's changed. It's not
very much.
Now, I don't, you know, the BCA is kind of an interesting discussion because Bill Kaneri in 2010, they were tired of the teachers union and mm-hmm. the AEA and the way they were always put ahead in front of the line. Like they were always going to get what they wanted first and everyone else had to wait their turn. That was how, and then finally, like the big mules looked and said, we can't do this anymore. Here's our opportunity to wrestle the power away from Paul Hubbard and become, you know, become what we're supposed to be, what we were prior to the rise of the teachers union. And they capitalized. They took the power away from Democrats. Bill Kaneri partnered with the Republican Party, Mike Hubbard at the time. And they used that 2010 Tea Party cycle to their advantage, and the Democrats went away. But what's happened is not Bill Kaneri's BCA anymore, and maybe he mismanaged it. I don't know what the drama is there. It was Katie and then Helena Duncan, and it's become sort of like what everything else in corporate America is, you know, like just paying lip service to wokeness. It's big business. It's not even like standard issue Washington DC think tank free market, you know, or whatever AFP or Koch brothers kind of, it is like left-wing moderate don't rock the boat Chamber of Commerceism.
It's kind of crazy. And when you think about the, you know, again, I think there was expectations of Katie. Now it allowed her to get her name out there. It got her back to the state, that kind of thing. But when you, from the transition from Katie to what it is now, you're like, Where did it go? What happened? Which, by the way, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it losing momentum, but there isn't really a driving powerhouse anymore. I feel like the movement, or, you know, the conservative side has kind of gotten directionless. There's no one driving the train.
Well, it's just there, like we had a texter just earlier in the show point this out. I'm not saying that naming the I-10 bridge after Donald Trump is like, yay, conservatism, a win for a victory for the late William Buckley or something. But there are audible groans when Barry Moore made that suggestion. And that I think is indicative of kind of where the business community is, that they're not particularly ideological. Maybe if they had their way, things would change to the more conservative direction. But look, they don't want to rock the boat. They don't like this idea. They have carved out their niche. They have all their carve outs in Montgomery and their guy in Montgomery. And I think that hamstrings a lot of what we, our expectations as sort of just generic citizens in Alabama have for state government.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see if we're coming in and doing some things that are unpopular, if Tuberville can then come back and be a DeSantis style governor and just, you know, because there's no doubt in my mind that the legislature is going to have to go further to the right on the social issues, because there's no excuse for them not to. Tuberville is there. The words coming out of his mouth, the things he cares about, you know, that he's gotten national press.
But we got to wrap it up here, but we checked the box on the social issues. I mean, I know just that barely. It could be a lot better, but we do an all right job at that. I give a passable grade to that. It's just some of these things like changing the PSC and doing things to favor the power company, or doing things that benefit, you know, the Blue Cross Blue Shield, or whatever it is. Those are the things that that stick out to me. And that's sort of, I don't know, like I said, that's something that goes on in the state of Florida, but it does seem like that is why it's keeping like Darnell Yarbroughs and other guys like that from, you know, getting any kind of foothold on power.
Yeah. And that's a very real thing, that there's a handful of companies that have an outsized interest. And it used to be through the BCA, and now it's just, you just know the companies, you know, it's who it is and what they're doing.
April Marie, how can folks find you online?
Best place is 1819 News to read my stories, and then on X, APRYLMARIE.
April Marie Fogle, ladies and gentlemen. April Marie, we'll do it again next week. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Thanks. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is a Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 1065.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Travis Johnson coming up in the next segment, so stick around for that. Ultra Runner writes, school pickup line inefficiencies are a pet peeve of mine. One of my kids' lines resemble a snake eating its tail. Just send the principal an email detailing the solution to save yourself a lot of time. 5 minutes times 200 times a day times 18 years equals 30 hours of unnecessary suffering. I mean, they have a, because of the constraints of the space. Because they built the school, but the parking lot, we got the same kind of snake phenomenon going on, too. And, maybe they need to figure out a way to build a longer turn lane into the school. And then there's just like a weird red light and a weird stop sign. The area is growing and more people are going to these schools. And they need to, like, really start thinking about doing, they're going to have to build more infrastructure for it, because they have a decent system and you sort of have a drop off zone. So like five or six cars will pull into the zone, let their kids out, and then it moves on, and then five or six more. And then you see how that works, but it still just backs up and it ties up traffic on the main road. Surfer Dude. Hey, Jeff. Why has there been virtually no coverage of the bikers protest at Dearborn, Michigan? On Tuesday, it looks like they blocked the interstate to keep bikers from coming to attend the city council meeting. This is the first I've heard of that.
You got to know when the whole...
Jason, do you believe the same groans would have been heard from the chamber? They suggested to name it after MLK or Hank Aaron. I think not. Probably not. But Trump is a far more caustic figure than those two, at least in 2026. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
When the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret.